Chapter 5. Goal! Shouted Ahmed. I looked down to see the ball dribble between my feet. Salim had found an old water skin in the rubbish yesterday and had sewn it into a ball. We'd used big stones to mark where the goalposts were. One or two of the basket boys who weren't needed had come over to play too. You weren't even looking, Ahmed complained, running over to fetch the ball from me. I kicked it over to him and went to sit down near the dig. I wiped my forehead with the corner of my turban. We'd been kicking the ball around for ages. It was too hot to play now. The sun beat down fiercely. My donkey huddled miserably by my side. I just found a dung beetle and was searching for another to race it when I heard the men talking excitedly. I leapt to my feet and ran to see what they'd found. One of the diggers made room for me. "It's a sunken staircase, all right," he said, "the kind that leads to important tombs. You can see all the upper edges of it clearly now. Soon we'll find out where it goes. Ha!" He lifted his pick and swung at the rock. I asked him how he could be so sure. "Why, lad, I've been digging in the Valley of the Kings for years now. I know an ancient stairway when I see it. And it would lead us to Tutankhamun's tomb. I knew it. We all did, though no one said it aloud." Step after step was being dug up now. Excited messages were whispering up them from boy to boy. "How many have they found now?" "4. No, you're wrong, it's 5. Soon they dug up a lot more than that. About halfway down the staircase became a passage roofed in by the rocky hillock where Ramesses had his tomb. "It's high enough for me to walk under, and as wide as this," said one of the men as I poured out the water. He stretched out his arms on either side to show me. But how long would it be before they reached the bottom? The sun was beginning to sink behind the mountain, spilling gold across the valley. It wouldn't be long before it set. Even the top steps were bathed in shadow now. Mr. Carter had come up once or twice to gaze anxiously at the sky. Soon it would be too dark for the men to work. It felt like a race against time. Ahmed and Salim appeared out of the shadows to sit beside me. "Have they got to the bottom yet?" I shook my head. "How many have they dug up now?" I shrugged. I'd given up trying to count them. "Let's go and see," Ahmed said. We got up to look once more. It was very dark down there now. We couldn't see the bottom. "Ugh," said Salim, peering down. "I wouldn't want to go down there." "Might be met by King Tutankhamun himself," said Ahmed as he climbed back up the pit. "Or his mummy," said Salim. He fell backwards onto the sand and crossed his arms across his chest. "What are you doing?" I said. "He's Tutankhamun's mummy," said Ahmed. Salim rolled his eyes and opened his mouth. "I am the voice of the dead king," he said. "You must obey me." Ahmed giggled, but I felt uncomfortable. "Don't talk like that," I said. "You'll bring us bad luck." "He's dead, Ali. It doesn't matter," said Salim, sitting up and shaking sand off himself. I was silent, but I didn't like it. There was something about this place, something that I couldn't quite explain, but I felt almost as if Tutankhamun could hear us. On the steps, the boys had begun to fidget. The baskets by their feet were empty. "They must have reached the bottom," I said. Ahmed went to the top of the stairs to peer down them again. Suddenly, he jumped back. "What was that?" he said nervously. "Stop fooling around," I said. I'd had enough of their stupid jokes. "I really did hear something," he protested. "It's only someone digging," said a boy on one of the lower steps. "Didn't sound like that to me," said Ahmed. The boys looked uneasy at each other. "Spirits," one said nervously. "They've woken the Ifarit." "I told you, it's just them digging," the boy on the step said again. Only now, he didn't look so sure. "But they've stopped working," another pointed out. We looked at each other. He'd only said what we were all thinking. I just wished he hadn't. "They've found the tomb," said Salim, going down to look too. "I can see a light down there. It's him. He's coming for us." He ran back to us, rolling his eyes and clutching Archimedes in mock terror. "Don't be an idiot," Archimedes said nervously, shaking him off. "Go and see if you don't believe me." "No fear, you can." "All right," said Salim, marched back to the dig. On the steps, the boys were frozen like statues. I saw Salim's face change. "It's him," he shouted, eyes wide with terror. "I can see him." He leapt back, nearly knocking me over. As one, we turned and fled, tumbling over each other in our haste to escape. It was their fault, I thought. They shouldn't make jokes about the dead. We were still running when I heard a voice bawl, "Oi, where do you think you're off to?" We skidded to a halt and turned round sheepishly. One of the diggers was standing at the top of the steps. "Scared you, did I?" he grinned. "Thought I was Tutankhamun, did you?" His eye fell on me. You're the water carrier, aren't you? Any water left in those jars?" I nodded. "Then fill up this flask and get down here quick." What had he said? I swallowed. The man thrust an empty thermos flask into my hands. They were trembling as I tipped water into it. I was eager to know what they'd found, only I didn't want to go down those steps. Not now. It was like being asked to walk into an open mouth. "Say hello to Tutankhamun for me," Salim grinned. Why did he have to say that? The man shone a torch down the steps so I could see, but I reached out a hand for the wall. The steps were steep and I didn't want to slip. Stone skidded under my bare feet. My heart was swinging inside me like a hammer. I knew it was silly to be scared. I was used to tombs. After all, I slept in one. But this was different. We were the first people to walk down these steps for thousands of years. And it wasn't just that. It wasn't what lay beyond them. I cursed Salim. It was his fault for putting ideas into my head. On the 12th step, I stopped. Mr. Carter was crouching on it, his back to me. In front of him was what looked like a door. Only the upper part of it was visible. A heap of rubble hid the rest. Carter wasn't bothering about that now, and I wouldn't if I was him either. I'd want to know what was behind it. "Have you got the water, lad?" he said. I nodded. "Give it to me." I handed him the flask. He swallowed a mouthful, then put it down and wiped his mouth with his sleeve. "That's better," he said. I saw a small hammer and a chisel on the step next to him. He flashed his torch up at the door. My eyes followed the beam as it travelled slowly across it. I could see curious things stamped on the plaster. One of them, the oddest of all, was a man with the head of a jackal. Under his foot cowered 9 people, bound like prisoners. I drew a deep breath. What did it mean? Mr. Carter swung round to me and smiled. "That, my boy, is the seal of the Royal Necropolis. It tells me that this might be the tomb of a very important person." It seemed that Mr. Carter didn't dare say the name Tutankhamun. He'd been disappointed too often. "Of course, it may mean nothing," he said to himself. "There should be other seals," I heard him sigh. To me, it seemed very small for the entrance to a royal tomb. Of course, the door would probably be a lot bigger once all the rubble had been cleared away. They'd find more steps to, leading deeper and deeper. Carter handed me the torch. "Do you see that small hole in the corner under the wooden lintel?" I nodded. "I'd like to shine the torch on it and hold it steady." He picked up a chisel and began to chip away at the hole. The plaster was loose and came away easily. I began to feel excited. Soon the hole would be big enough to look through. Maybe he'd let me look through it too. I might be one of the first people to see what was inside the tomb. "Give me that torch, quick!" Carter grabbed the torch from me and inserted it through the hole. Aha! What could he see? My mind began to reel. Gold, heaps of it, maybe even the coffin of Tutankhamun himself. Carter withdrew the torch. "Good," he said, "very good." It was then I saw what was on the other side. Nothing. Nothing but rocks and blocks of stone, from floor to ceiling. My mind spun in disbelief. Had Carter seen something I hadn't? How could finding a tunnel blocked up with rubble be good news? He gave me the torch to hold again, and I watched as he filled in the hole. He caught a glimpse of my face. Don't look so downcast, lad. There's a tomb there, all right, behind that rock. We'll find it one day, of course, he said. We don't know whose tomb it is yet. The evidence should be somewhere. He put on his spectacles and flashed the torch slowly over the door again. Something was missing. Something that would tell him for sure if this was Tutankhamun's tomb. He sighed and stood up. Come on, lad, it's late. He bounded up the steps and I stumbled up behind him. I still couldn't understand why the heap of rubble behind the door made him so sure he'd found the tomb. As I got to the top, I saw Mr. Carter go over and speak to the foreman. The foreman nodded and beckoned to the men. Broad grins spread over their faces. They picked up their tools. A minute later, stones were rattling back over the steps. I watched in disbelief. Why were they shovelling back all the rubble they'd spent days clearing out? Salim and Ahmed appeared at my elbow. Ahmed looked as stunned as me. What are they doing that for? I shrugged. How could I know? So there's nothing there, said Ahmed. No, said Salim. You're wrong. It'll be something good. Why would they bother filling it all in again otherwise? I stared at him. Salim didn't know it, but he'd just given me the answer to what had been puzzling me. Of course, the tunnel underground had been filled in to protect the tomb doorway from robbers. Somewhere behind that door lay the king surrounded by his treasure. Carter knew what he was doing. Me? I'd been so sure we'd find it behind the first door, I hadn't stopped to think. Not only were we about to uncover a tomb, but an unplundered one too. I turned away to hide the big grin that spread over my face. Come on, said Ahmed. It's not a secret, is it? He shouted. He sounded hurt. Just rubbish, I said, and shrugged. Is that all? Salim said. He looked like he didn't believe me for a minute. That's all I could see, I said. Mr. Carter made a hole in the door where the plaster was loose. I stopped. I didn't like the greedy look on Salim's eyes, like a vulture who spotted a juicy carcass. It's rock, I said. Lots of it, that's all. I cast an uneasy glance upwards. The sun had gone down and the moon taken its place. None of us mountain folk like being in the valley after dark. Let's go, I said. I climbed onto the donkey, pulling on its mane to turn it round. It was about to set off when the foreman called to me. I trotted over, wondering what he wanted. He dropped a few coins into my hand. Oh, my pay, I'd nearly gone home without it. Father wouldn't have been pleased if I'd arrived home empty-handed. I bowed my head. Thank you, Effendi. He hadn't finished. We won't need you tomorrow, he said. I reeled on the donkey's back. What had he said? But the men, the workers would have to dig up all the rubble. They'd be hot and thirsty. Who'd bring them water if not me? But, I said again, I'd been helpful, hadn't I? Why didn't he want me to come back? Work on the tomb is stopping till Lord Carnarvon arrives from England, he puffed out his chest. From England? All I knew about England was that it was at the other end of the world from Egypt. Lord Carnarvon must be a very important person if they had to wait for him. It'd be weeks before he got here. Weeks before anyone discovered what else was on the other side of that sealed door. And judging from the smirk on the foreman's face, he didn't want me there when they did. I turned my donkey away from him and headed towards the mountain. I barely needed to touch my heels to it to coax it forward. The donkey didn't like it there any more than I did. Long shadows crept out of the tombs towards us. At night, the Valley of the Kings belonged to the dead. Salim and Ahmed had gone on ahead, but I soon caught up with them. The glow from the guard's fire winked at us from the mountain, but we didn't need it to find our right path. The donkey knew its way home now. Ahmed and Salim whispered to each other, but I didn't care. I had other things on my mind. Now I'd seen the door and knew that what might lie behind it, I had to find a way to come back. I wasn't going to miss what I was so close to seeing. No one, not even the foreman, was going to keep me away.